From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of October 2020. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And we'll discuss the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass at Nutrien Ag Solutions.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today on a Friday at 4.02, settled a penny and three quarters lower. The March at 4.07, down one in May, three quarters lower at 4.08 and a half. July corn a half lower at 4.08 and three quarters. Next year's December at $3.95 and three quarters, up a penny. November beans 12 and a quarter lower, settled at 10.50. January at 10.50 and a quarter, down 11 and three quarters. And March at 10.37 and three quarters, 7 and three quarters lower. July soybeans 10.35 and a quarter, down 5 and three quarters. In November contract at 9.70 and a quarter, 3 and a quarter lower. Bean oil futures 18 cents lower at 32.99. The bean meal down $4.60 at 367.50 for the afternoon. Wheat futures July contract at $6.09 a bushel, up 2 and a quarter. Hard red July at 5.75 and a half. Down a penny for the day. Live cattle in the October at 107.15, down 62 and a half. December 92 and a half, lower at $108.62 and a half. And feeder cattle for the day at 138.10, 82 and a half cents lower. In the lead October, November down $1.45, 400 pounds at $135.02 and a half cents. Lean hogs December contract a 7 and a half lower at $69.80. Crude oil for the day about 8 cents lower at $40.88 a barrel. Ethanol futures down a penny a gallon at $1.44, and heating oil or diesel fuel 0.9 cents lower, and that's at $1.17 and 8 cents. That ethanol, by the way, was up a penny, not down a penny. Gasoline on the RBOB a penny and 0.3 cents lower at $1.16 and 0.7 cents per gallon. That's the wholesale price of gas, and the Dow is now about 250 points higher. The dollar down 0.189, and gold futures down $4.70. It's around $1,898.50. We're now joined by Mike Zuzlo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, to take a look at what happened in Chicago at the CME Group. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for being with us again on this Friday. We really do appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, thanks for being with us on our Commodity Week show yesterday. Many of those folks will get to hear it today or over the weekend, so I appreciate that.
Well, I do too. Laid down another great one, thanks to you.
Let's begin this afternoon with the soybean market, which was lower, but I want to talk about it chopping around this week. There's a lot of volatility in that market. Does it give you an indication of anything that it's got in mind for the future, whether that's a top or just another move higher?
Well, I think we're still exploring, trying to find out whether we've rationed enough demand. And I think in the soybeans, we probably have, given the fact that we did see a pretty low weekly meal export sale number and a pretty low bean oil export number. So I think the products are starting to show some wear because of the prices that we're at, Todd. We haven't gotten there yet in the beans with almost 97 million bushels of export sales released a day late on this morning. But I think what I'm getting at is I think the beans are feeling pretty good being underneath $11 right now, waiting for a rain in Brazil. And you notice this week, whether it was Friday or whether it was the beginning of the week, when the beans tried to go higher, if they didn't have the wheat and the corn supporting them, if not leading them, they did not last very long in terms of all the upside, and profit taking by longs came very, very quickly. And I think that's going to continue to be the case, especially if Brazil gets some much needed rains. And these weather models are starting to suggest, both the U.S. GFS and the European model are both trying to suggest, that maybe we're going to be under a pattern shift to a wetter bias, and that it's going to come right in the nick of time if these models are right.
You think that the corn market has more to it?
I think it does in the cash market. I'm not sure about the futures, and I think that the both of them may need to come together a little bit more before we find a strong move back up. I think the corn is still mostly underneath the auspices of a wheat-led rally, but we're also seeing that corn, especially futures prices, are getting more divergent in terms of Paris corn is at $5.50 on lead month futures. Chinese corn is at $9.60 on lead month futures this week. And here we are sitting at just above $4 a bushel on lead month futures. And so I think corn is probably going to find itself in a different category than the wheat and than the beans to some degree, because I think the cash demand and the export demand and the feed demand will continue to underpin it very, very nicely. So breaks to me in corn are going to probably be easier to be bought than breaks in beans at this stage of the game.
The soy corn ratio for this year, it stands around 2.6 or thereabouts. For next year, it's around 2.4.5. One of them tells you the corn's underpriced or that soybeans are overpriced, one of the two. That's the crop that's being harvested now. But there's been a lot been made that more soybeans need to go into ground next year, but the ratio doesn't tell us that, right?
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point. I think two things, the nearby no bean dees corn ratio of 2.6 is right on a major support line, trend line support that goes all the way back to late 2019. So that's one of the key indicators along with meal for next week's flat price traded soybeans, in my opinion. And remember, we're going to get really, really close to first notice day in November beans. And that tells us whether the Chicago price is too high or too low, generally speaking, based upon deliveries. On that back end ratio, you're exactly right. I think that the corn acres are going to be really light next year, especially if wheat that gets planted now for winter wheat does not manifest itself into a decent crop. I think you'll see milo in the hard red wheat belt. I think you'll see soybeans in the soft red wheat belt, and you'll see wheat torn up on both sides if we can't get some good rains between now and December. So I just think, bottom lining it out, the USDA reports this strong surge in demand USDA's pushed for China taking on 100 million metric tons of soybean imports for this current marketing year has really maybe skewed that ratio in favor of the soybeans. And that's what the futures traders believe right now. I, as an analyst, do not believe that, because I still think there's a problem with the production number, that corn production is probably lower than what USDA is suggesting. And we go through that in Commodity Week quite a bit.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet, Todd. Thanks again.
Yep, that's Mike Suzalo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Let's check the weather forecast now with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Eric, the winds have been really pretty high this week. It's been dry, and it's been unusual in our area that there have been so darned many field fires, and they run really fast. That's just part and parcel, I guess, of what weather conditions have been like here.
Yeah, so leading up to those fires midweek this week, we had, looking back over the last month, we were sitting well below about 20% of normal precipitation on midsection of the state. And so what ended up happening was a deep load was taking shape here over the Great Lakes, and it was drawn in quite a bit of air. So we were seeing wind speeds middle of this week that were, 30 to 40 miles an hour, gusting faster than that straight out of the south. And it doesn't take much when you're that dry to really get a fire going, and then it moves very, very quickly. There was also some large fires in Colorado as well that actually spread smoke from Colorado clear to Missouri. So this was a week where the windy conditions really increased fire threat across the midsection of the country. But now those winds, of course, have changed direction, and they're now out of the northwest.
Yeah, and then they brought a little rain with them. Not much, but some. Gray sky yesterday, too.
Yeah, that was kind of the problem. We weren't able up to this point to get decent moisture out of the atmosphere, but things are changing here in the near term as this pattern reestablishes itself over the center part of North America that possibly will increase our chances of rainfall as we get into next week. And then even looking out into the week that follows that, which will really be toward the end of the month of October, we will have a better chance at being wetter than average during that time period, which is going to be a major shift over what we had been seeing so far this harvest season.
I made note, because my daughter lives in Fargo, that they'll have beans in the teens, and by that mean I mean somewhere in the tens by the weekend. She's going to get cold, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So what's happening right now is that flanking North America are two large ridges. So one goes up into the North Atlantic, the other goes up in the North Pacific. And as a result of that, the cold air that's normally in those places is shoved into the middle part of North America. And so, yeah, it's going to be very chilly. There'll be some overnight low temperatures, as you said, down there in the teens and in the high plains, and we're expecting snow through there, accumulating snow, nothing like we saw a year ago where they had a massive blizzard that put down 2 feet of snow in North Dakota on October 13th and 14th, but some snow coming in that area to deal with. Now, we won't see the white stuff here just yet, but we will be getting some of those chillier temperatures, but thankfully the cold air isn't going to penetrate too far, so it's not going to be unbearable just yet.
You mentioned rainfall next week here. What does that look like?
Yeah, so I'm watching very carefully starting Sunday for a boundary, a stationary boundary, and imagine that, but they don't move. And it's going to sit here for a lot of midweek next week. And I think we could possibly get multiple chances of getting some rainfall on it. So my recommendation is if you have the ability to get out and get field work done, now I would move, because the chances of seeing some rain that could chase us out of the fields next week is there. So that'd be my advice based on the weather right now.
Hey, have you looked forward into the winter yet and have any idea what that might look like for us?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I have. At this point, all signals point toward the La Nina kind of dominating the background state of things. Now, remember, during winter, we have what we call these subseasonal things that fluctuate. And one of the big ones is the polar vortex. And there's just no way right now that we could even tell you what it was going to do. But what I will tell you is that when we typically have La Nina events like this, it tends to bring in more colder air across the northern tier of the United States. We get a lot of clipper systems. And it also gives us a pretty active storm track through the Ohio River Valley. But the United States seems to be split during La Nina years, with very cold air north, but also pretty mild and dry patterns south. So to be honest, the thing I'm most concerned about this winter is actually what's going to happen to the drought in Texas through New Mexico, Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma. That, I think, is probably the most important thing for us to be watching as we go through winter for possible drought development.
Speaking of drought, it's been really dry in parts of South America, so much so that they have not really gotten a good start on soybean sowing. I wonder what those rainfalls will look like when they come in, because if I remember correctly, it's very seasonal and monsoonal, so might they just be too heavy for them to plant when they actually get started?
Yeah, that's going to be the concern. So we're already, you know, in some places, we're a month behind in getting this crop in. They could have started back on the 15th of September. And as a result of the drought that's been there and the overprediction of rain from the models, it's just not come in. The rains have just been slow. We've got pretty robust signals, though, that as we get through the next 7 days and then into week two, the rains are going to come back. And now the models are actually advertising much wetter than average conditions. So here comes the concern, now that they've waited to get the moisture in the soil, that they're going to be getting too frequent a rainfall to move as quickly as they'd want to move. And remember, monsoons typically start in like fits and spurts. And so we're going to have to see if this is problematic, because if we're still talking about this, Todd, and it's November the 5th, November the 10th, that time frame, we've got a pretty serious problem on our hands that's going to last not only through this soybean crop, but then into the safrinha corn and cotton crops that will be something major newsworthy, I think, to be talking about here.
Speaking of noteworthy, the Black Sea has been dry, like the hard red winter wheat areas in the United States, for sowing of wheat. What are conditions like there?
Well, they're not improving. While much of the rest of Western Europe has seen very wet conditions and major swings in temperature, we just can't seem to kick these troughs far enough to the east to be bringing in meaningful rainfall to that Black Sea region. So looking there, it's way behind on moisture. And every time we get precipitation coming through, it's just enough to maybe wet things, but nothing soaking in. And that's problematic for that winter wheat crop getting planted there.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions, helped us to wrap up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do check out our Commodity Week program. It's up online right now at willag.org, or search it out in your favorite podcast applications. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.